Hello and welcome to Travel Time. Today I'm sharing highlights from a couple of our trips to Denmark. We've been to Denmark a couple of times because my husband's sister and her family all live there. Most of the places we visited with the boys on our London-Denmark adventure, but I'm including a few of the places we've loved but visited previously to that trip. First off, if you've not gone to Denmark yet because you're worried about not being able to communicate if you don't speak Danish, don't worry about that. Most of the people we ran into, particularly at the tourist type locations, also spoke English. It's polite, of course, to try to learn at least some basic phrases, but everyone we met was very friendly and very helpful. We did have family with us who were fluent and most of which were native Danish, but we had some situations in shops, etc., where we were talking with people directly without needing a translator or using the little bit of Danish we knew, and people were very friendly with trying to understand whatever we were trying to say. We also won't have many tips for food in here, and I apologize for that in advance. My brother-in-law is an amazing cook and spoiled us with many Danish specialties to try, and so we didn't go out to eat very much or at all. I don't even think we went out at all. One of the first places we ever went in Denmark was the Round Tower in Copenhagen. Built in 1642, it was built as part of the Trinity Complex to house the observatory at the top of the tower, the university library above Trinity Church, and Trinity Church itself below. It was built by King Christian IV with walls of yellow and red, and the king himself sketched the golden rebus and king's heart on the front of the tower. The iconic spiral ramp in the tower was inspired by ancient structures, including the Tower of Babel, as well as German Renaissance castles. The spiral ramp is the only way to the top and winds 7.5 times around the tower's hollow core. We went up it with a baby buggy once, and that was an adventure. This is a really fun stop for us that didn't take a terribly long time. The tower is open all but 3 days of the year and costs about 40 kroner for the adults and 10 for ages 5 to 15. While we're on the subject of Christian IV, and when you're touring Denmark, the name Christian IV will come up a lot. He was the longest reigning monarch in Scandinavian history and was the king of Denmark and Norway until Queen Margrethe II passed him in 2023. He was very active in building, so his legacy is plain to see around much of Denmark, especially in Copenhagen. Some examples we'll talk about later as well, and some famous ones we haven't yet visited. Rosenborg Castle, the Naval Church, Holmens Kirke. He converted Frederiksborg Castle to a Renaissance-style palace and rebuilt Kronborg Castle into a fortress. The other thing to be aware of is that many Danish kings were named either Frederick or Christian, so it can get confusing at times. You'll see Christian IV's name far more often, but be aware you'll also see both these names very often, including the current king, Frederick X. The Little Mermaid statue is one of Copenhagen's most iconic attractions. Inspired by the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale, it's in the water on a rock at Langelini Pier, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, at Copenhagen Harbor. You can view it from land, and there are usually large crowds of people around the shoreline across from it. Other than working your way through the crowd, visiting this won't take a long time, except that it isn't super close to other attractions you may be visiting. It is in a very beautiful park area, though, and it's semi-near Rosenborg Castle and Holmens Kirke. If you happen to be going out of Copenhagen on a cruise, probably will get a decent view of it from a ship on the other side of the statue. Christiansborg Castle was one of our favorite stops as well. It has an 800-year history, but the present palace was completed in 1928. It's in the middle of Copenhagen on Slotsholmen, also known Castle Island. This palace also has an exhibit under the palace with ruins. The ruins are Bishop Absalon's 12th-century castle and the Blue Tower, the largest tower in Copenhagen Castle. It housed criminals there. Other than the ruins below the castle, you can visit the royal reception rooms with the Great Hall, the royal stables, the royal kitchen, and the palace chapel. The palace is still in use by the monarchy for official events like galas and public audiences, and the palace chapel is used for royal events like weddings, baptisms, and anniversaries. You can check the website before you go to confirm seasonal hours or closings, or in tickets for the combination ticket run, 175 kroner for adults, 155 for students, and under 18 are free of charge. You can also buy a ticket specific to the portion or portions you want to see, and the website has a specific pricing for those tickets as well. We visited the courtyard by Amalienborg Palace, an outside area, but we did not take a tour of that one. Tivoli Gardens is another place, great place to visit, especially if you're there with a family. They're open from March to early January, but closed for several weeks from January to late March. There are several different ticket options that allow different levels of access. An entrance pass is 155 kroner for those over 8, and a ride pass is 259 kroner. This is an amusement park, but also has a beautiful garden area. The park has thrill-style coasters, a wide variety of non-coaster rides, both mild and more thrilling, and a kids section. They also have several shows and restaurants, and we had a really fun day, the day that we spent in Tivoli Park. Outside of Copenhagen, we visited several cool sites as well. One is Frederiksborg Castle in Hillerød. This was also built by Christian IV in the early 17th century and is the largest Renaissance complex in the Nordic region. The castle had a major fire in 1859 that burned most of the interior of the castle to ash, but some portions survived and others were restored. From 1660 to 1848, this castle's chapel was used to anoint the kings of Denmark. Inside this chapel, the coats of arms along the walls honor international heads of state and distinguished Danes. Our brother-in-law pointed out his family's coat of arms displayed there as well. The castle now houses the Danish National Museum collections, and its collection of portraits is the largest in Denmark. The admission prices and hours vary by season, so be sure to check out the website before your trip. Roskilde is another city we visited, which was rich with history, and it's known as the Viking capital of Denmark. It's also one of Denmark's oldest cities. From the 11th century to 1443, it was the capital of Denmark. 30 minutes from Copenhagen, it makes an easy day trip if you're based in Copenhagen. Music buffs will recognize it for the annual Musical and Arts Festival that's held there each year for 8 days. We walked around the city, but also took in two really interesting attractions. The Roskilde Domkirke is a large cathedral dating to around 1170. It was started in the Romanesque form, but then switched to Gothic while building it. And then as other sections were added, they used the architectural style of the time, resulting in a sort of history of European architecture in a single building. Originally, many of the interior walls were richly painted over the interior stucco, but most of those paintings have disappeared. From the 10th century to now, many of the royal family have been buried there. The price to tour the cathedral are 70 kroner for adults, 0 to 17 are free, and students are 50 kroner. The hours vary by season, so be sure to check the website for this one as well. Our other favorite that we've been to twice now is the Viking Skibsmuseet, or Viking Ship Museum. The museum tells the story of Vikings as well as their ships. In the summer, you can even take a ride on a Nordic wooden boat in the fjord. The original five boats, the Skuldelev 5, are five Viking boats that were discovered and date back to the Viking Age. They are over 1,000 years old. The ships, when they were worn out, were used to help construct a barrier to protect Denmark within the fjord by weighting them with stones and purposefully sinking them. About 60 years ago, they were rediscovered and brought back up and preserved. The museum showcases these five boats. Beyond these ships are a variety of permanent and temporary exhibits, as well as a lot of kid-focused activities that are great for teaching kids about this period of history. My kids, in particular, loved it. Last but not least, you should definitely visit Kronborg Castle to the north at the narrowest point between Denmark and Sweden, at the entrance of the Øresund Sound, between Baltic and the North Seas. This castle is in front of the harbor of the city of Helsingør. It served as both a royal residence and a fortress protecting the sound on the trading route between Eastern and Western Europe. It's often known as Hamlet's Castle, as it is the castle setting the play was based on within the town of Elsinore or Helsingør. It costs about 125 kroner for adults to visit the castle, free for under 18, and students are 115. Kronborg was where the passing ships paid the Øresund toll to pass through the sound, and Kronborg became one of the finest Renaissance castles. Tales of the magnificent castle reached far and wide and inspired Shakespeare to use the castle as the setting for Hamlet. When we visited in the summertime, they were performing the different scenes of the play throughout the castle and castle grounds. It really brought the play to life, having it performed, but specifically in the castle setting. When my boys later read Hamlet in school, they definitely remembered having seen the different scenes in the different rooms. Over the years, many famous actors have performed Hamlet at Kronborg Castle, among them Jude Law, Kenneth Branagh, Derek Jacobi, John Gielgud. Aside from Hamlet, Kronborg was also known for lavish parties and dinners. It is also a UNESCO World Heritage Center. When we visited Kronborg, we also took a quick trip to Sweden in the town of Helsingborg, where we shopped a little and visited a tower surviving from a medieval castle there, Karnan, where you can climb to the top and see the view. It's pretty easy to catch a ferry over to Sweden, enjoy a short ride, and spend some time in Sweden, and then return. We spent just a few hours round trip visiting and then returning. But at least the kids could say they've been to Sweden at the end. Through the trip, we also visited a restored Viking village. There are several in different areas of Denmark, as well as there were several partial ruins or historical sites through the areas around the country that we visited that were great short stops and very interesting. Denmark's a country you should definitely visit. Everyone we encountered was so friendly. The countryside is absolutely beautiful. It has a rich history, and there's just so much to see and do. Until next time, happy travels.